Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, where top performers share their secrets to help you achieve your personal and your professional goals. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and together with my amazing guests, we bring you inspiring and actionable insights to take your life and your business to the next level. Ranked in the top 2% globally, this podcast really is a must listen. And again, it's because of my guests. So whether you are tuning in for entrepreneurial tips, career advice, or personal development strategies, get ready to turn inspiration into action, challenges into triumphs, and dreams into reality. And in this episode, I'm excited. I get to introduce you to my guest, Audra Carpenter. She is a vibrant entrepreneur, a mentor, and an owner of a thriving marketing agency located in St. Petersburg, Florida. And drawing from her extensive experience at ATEC Dynamics and her education from San Jose State, Audra possesses a unique blend of business acumen and technological expertise. And that's what we're talking about today. So not only is she the driving force behind her successful agency, but she's also a prolific podcaster hosting both Unlocked by AI, Artificial Intelligence, and The Mess in the Middle. In Unlocked by AI, she explores the transformative power of artificial intelligence for lead generation, while The Mess in the Middle offers invaluable guidance to small business owners and entrepreneurs navigating these challenges. So she is here to generously share her insights on AI tools and strategies. And I can't wait. I've been lurking on Facebook, and we were just talking about that in the green room. I've been following her for a long time because AI is not something that we can ignore. And she's here to share with us a lot of tips, tricks, strategies. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, Audra. It's good to have you here.
Oh, Denise, thank you so much. First, for the kind introduction, but second, yes, we've been meaning to do this for some time. So I'm really excited in the conversation ahead.
Well, and when I say lurking, I'm not joking. I'm like, I'm one of these insatiably curious people. I'm known as a curious nerd in stilettos. You know, I'm a techie person, Christian about it. I know just enough about AI to be moderately dangerous. So here you come to save me.
Well, good. I'm glad I could assist. And I am very much in the weeds and so far down this rabbit hole of AI that I almost feel like I'm stepping into the matrix. I mean, to be alive today and being able to experience the revolution that's happening at a world scale is nothing but amazing. Now, you know, I say that with a bit of hesitation because I'm an optimistic realist. I'm always going to see the good side of things or how we can use it to support us, change us, grow us. But I'm also a realist and there can be a dark side and there is cause for concern. But I'm responsible, right? Good people are going to do good things with tools and bad people are going to do bad things with tools. And that's society as a whole. So I think, you know, as we step into this AI conversation, just know I'm not so naive that I don't see there could be a downside to this opportunity.
We're dealing with humankind.
Exactly.
I mean, it is
that in itself says it all.
Right. I mean, we have good, bad, evil, demonic, and everything in between. So we're going to talk about the good that AI
absolutely
do right now. So how would you explain AI's role in business to someone who's new to the concept, or they're reading things on Twitter or Facebook and going, oh my God, that scares the crap out of me. And we're seeing a lot, it's going to take my job. There's a lot of hysteria around it right now.
Well, I think I would start with one, we don't always pay attention to everything that we see in the media. Two, I would go to sources. Not everybody is a credible source. So stick with, you know, if you do want to go and learn about what AI is, how it can help your business, I would start with the basics. It's very overwhelming out there. So even besides the fear of what AI can do, it's just plain ridiculous to think that you could keep up with how fast it's evolving. I can't keep up. Every day something new has changed and added, and 100 more new tools have come up and all that. Don't get caught up in it. It's too much and it's really not going to help your business at all. So first thing I would say is kind of build some blinders around that loud noise and say, okay, I'm a business owner. This is what I do in my business. This is how I generate leads. This is how I get my tasks done. These are my day-to-day operations. When it comes to sales or marketing or customer service, these are, you know, kind of the cogs of what makes your business run effectively. Start there. You know, there's plenty of things that are out there, shiny objects you can chase, but for me, I pass the shiny object thing. I don't need shiny object things. I want actionable things. I do these 10 tasks every week. How can I use AI to help me with that ethically, responsibly, and to get a better outcome? Maybe my efforts aren't getting as much. Maybe, you know, let's take social media only. So if you look at your social media, well, you know, I don't post consistently. I don't feel like my voice is being heard. I can't get enough engagement. I can't get it all done. I don't have a repeatable system. 5 o'clock comes around and I scramble and I take an image out of my phone and put up a caption real quick. And one, I'm disappointed with my efforts. Two, it doesn't get any engagement. And three, it's not accomplishing anything positive for looking at growth for your business. So then the question is, okay, I do need a system. I do want to get results from my efforts and I don't want to be continually stressed out about this. How can AI support that? And I think those are the conversations we need to start with when it comes to your business. And take that same conversation and apply it against creating a lead generation, getting traffic to your website, improving your blog content. I mean, that should be the simple conversation. I'm trying to achieve X. Here's the way I'm currently doing it. This is the outcome I would like. How does AI support me to do this?
And see, that is so brilliantly simple. Because you're,
it is. It should be that simple.
It really is. I mean, you're explaining something that anybody who owns a business already knows. Stick in your own lane. Do what works for your business. Do what works for your customers, your consumers. And I've got to tell you, this bothered me at the very beginning of this, which was not all that long ago. All of a sudden, and I saw this, I'm going to interrupt myself a bit here. I saw this in the podcasting industry. I saw this, you know, back in the day when I was a very well-known, very highly paid virtual assistant before everybody who had a keyboard became a virtual assistant. So I bailed. But I see this now in AIs, like people who have zero business doing this are all of a sudden experts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're selling things like crazy. And I get curious and then I get mean. I don't say anything,
right.
But they go on my list of people to never bother with again.
Right.
That, you know, you were a book author. You were, you know, a plumber and all of a sudden you're an AI expert. I don't think so.
Right.
But
there's a lot of that. Yeah. And it does happen in every industry. So before I got into marketing, so I've owned an agency since 2009. So I'm not coming from, hey, you know, I was nothing. And then I started becoming an AI expert. I mean, I've paid my dues. I've built over 500 websites. I've helped thousands of clients over the years. And AI is just the next evolution. And really, at the end of the day, marketing is still marketing. How I send an email is exactly how I sent it in 2024 as I did in 1998. We're just using different tools to do it. AI is just another tool. But back to your point, before I got into marketing, I owned a title company and I did real estate for about 10 years. And when the real estate market took off in 2001, 2002, it was when I was trying to hire people, it was McDonald's, Home Depot, loan officer, because people started pivoting because the industry took off. And we're going to see that anytime something new comes along. And a lot of times, as soon as the industry settles down, they move back on to whatever was next for them. You know, God bless them that they're trying to improve, but at the same
time,
how much
damage did they do?
I don't know if it's, some of them were actually, you know, earned their right to be there. They saw an opportunity. They took it. They did the right thing. Others were just, you know, opportunity seekers and moved on to whatever was next when the real estate market tanked in 2008, 2009.
Right.
And they've moved on to whatever was the next, you know, they chased those kind of opportunities. The good thing is those aren't my people. Those aren't your people. You know, they're going to hit whatever industry they do. I don't pay a lot of attention to them, but AI is going to be the same. So again, don't go chase stuff. Focus on what you're already doing in your business. AI is just to help you. There's three things to focus on. Does this help me save time? Meaning I do this task every week and I spend 4 hours on it. With AI's help, I can actually spend an hour on it now. So I save time. Does it save me money? I don't have to outsource this now because I can get it to write a good sales copy for me or my social media posts, or it's helping write blogs. So I don't have to pay $100 for the blog. Now I only need an editor and I can pay her $50. Or whatever that looks like. So am I saving time? Am I saving money? Or am I improving my opportunity to generate leads? And really just focus on, I have to generate money because I am a for-profit company. I do need to get a lot of tasks done. And how do I do it better without working 80 hours a week? I mean, small businesses have been given the golden ticket with this. It's just amazing when used properly.
It really is. And I have a couple of colleagues that were saying, oh, I'm afraid of it, you know, and I instantly go back to the first time I gave my mother a computer and she said, I don't want to break it.
Right. I remember just those days.
It's not shit. You are in charge. No, I'm not. And she was terrified and she never could master it. But I remember when I got my first one, I was like, oh my God, it was like this alien being sitting on my desk and it was going to be in charge of me for about 5 minutes. And then I, you know, got a hold of myself. But the thing is, we don't know what we don't know. And it can be terrifying. And I had a couple of colleagues that said, oh, I just don't want to mess with it. And so one of my colleagues, I said, listen, try this, you know, go in there, try this. I'll give you some steps. He now calls it his godfather.
That's awesome.
He said, and I'll get an email. I said, okay, the godfather told me this, and I'm reading it going, that's pretty good. You know, good for you.
Wow. So, here's the thing to think about. One, I would question why you're afraid of it. Two, I would explore that means they need to come from AI from the other side of it. If you understand, it's almost like Oz. If you pull the drape back, you'll realize it's just a man back there. It's nothing fancy. There's no magic. There's no sparkle. It's a machine. It's a box that's full of chips that has indexed the internet. You ask it a question. It goes into its database and finds the most probable answer that you're looking for. It really is that simple. And if you look at it that way, it's just like a big, huge dictionary. It's a big, huge knowledge base of content. It's not listening to you. It's not understanding you. It's you asked me, is this a cat? And I answered yes or no. Right now, because generative AI is not here yet, meaning the ability to think through and reason based on chain of thought, it does not exist yet. Not to the level where people should be afraid of it. Right now, it really is just a really fancy knowledge base.
Well, listen, when I got my first computer, I'm going to throw my age away here. It was pre-internet.
Yeah.
It was
Okay. Nice.
$1,000. It was a box. It really was. And I mean, it was just a fancy word processor. You couldn't say
Right.
anything, couldn't print anything, but by God, I had to have it. Because in my heart and soul, when I tell you I'm a nerd, I'm not joking. In my heart and soul, I knew without having anything to base this on that I would make a living with a computer, and I have. And this is where I'm the happiest, is right in front of my giant monitors going, ooh, look at that. I feel the same way about AI. And I use it. I use it to give me ideas. I use it to sort things out for me when my brain gets a little bit jumbled, you know, 8 times a day. I'll go to AI and say, this is what I'm thinking. Can you sort this out for me? Give me some ideas. Give me some topics. Give me, you know, give me a list. Guess what? I need a spreadsheet. So it's in terms of being professional with your thoughts, it's amazing.
Couldn't agree with you more. That I have probably 100x my productivity.
Exactly.
Now, mind you, I didn't start there. I did have to just crash and burn. I tried. Now, mind you, I'm a little bit longer into this. So I got into AI when conversion AI first launched. So, which everybody now knows as Jasper. So they started as conversion AI, and I think I joined like the first month that they launched, and it was a little overwhelming. I was like, if I could write copy, I would write copy. I don't understand what these prompts mean. And again, I just told you earlier, I have 15 years experience in marketing, but I'm not the writer. I pay people to write for me. You know, I know my lane and what I'm really good at, and the rest of the stuff, all these years I've hired out. I'm a darn good editor, but coming up with it from scratch, that's not my lane. So being able to use AI and say, can you write me? I know what a PSA is. I know what a long sales letter is, but I never really knew how to put that together. And being able to sit in front of somebody smarter than me and say, I'm trying to write a sales letter for a new book I'm launching. Can you outline what you need to know from me so you can help me do this? And it really is that simple. And it'll say, oh, well, I need to know who's the target audience and what kind of tone of voice do you have and what are you selling and what is the outcome and the results and the offer? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I supply the information. It writes a sales letter. It's my new best friend.
Well, you and me,
I'm going to revolt if somebody tries to take this from me.
I know. And I will sit with it and say, and, you know, I've had to learn how to properly prompt it and then kind of delete and just ignore things that, yeah, I don't know where that came from, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Sure.
And I have sat with ChatGPT and one other that I am trying to use, getting ready to learn how to use. And I'll have to go through many iterations before finally go, there it is, got it.
Yeah.
And I realize it's not it, it's me. I am not giving it the information I really want it to respond to. So let's talk about prompts, because that's a big question too.
Sure. Well, so there's a couple different schools from this. Yes, getting a direct question that, again, if you go back to my example, we ask a question, it finds patterns. And what are the typical responses to that question? So as we create these prompts, that's essentially what we're doing. I am a book author, or I need you to act like a book author. Let me see if I can give you a better example. I'm getting ready to launch a book called Marketing Reset. Now, I wrote the book before AI came along. It's been sitting on my shelf since 2017, but I was doing some updating. And I was using ChatGPT to clean up a few sections in it. And this is what I said, my prompt: you are a nonfiction book editor, expert in business and marketing books. I need you to act as an editor and give me feedback on these sections that I'm going to share with you. So the more specific that you can be, it, the better results that you're going to get. Now, does that mean go out and learn, you know, spend 100 hours learning prompting? No, start with natural language. That's the whole goal of these. Now, don't get me wrong. A good effective prompt will get you to results 10 times faster. But as you're learning, it's better to almost explore with the chatbot. I asked this question, it gave me these results. Okay, it wasn't what I wanted. So how do I need to ask it in a different way? Is it more detail? Is it, I need to qualify them? Think through that chain of thought as if you were talking to a human. Would you just say, hey, edit this for me? I would come back and say, no, I got 10 questions. What are you looking for? Who is this going to? Who's your target audience? What is your outcome? What kind of goal are you, what are you trying to achieve here? Well, the AI is going to have the same kind of questions. So it's very important to work with it. And over time, you get better and better at asking directly and in shorter prompts where you don't have to go back and forth 10 times to get that outcome. But it only comes with practice.
It does. And you know what I catch myself doing? I will ask the questions of myself out loud.
Yeah.
Instead of writing them down, because I don't know about you, I write differently than I speak.
Sure.
So I find that if I, you know, I sit with myself, say self, and I start asking the questions out loud and I write them down. I go, okay, that didn't, okay, that's going to need to be first person.
Right.
And I can sort it out before I even hit my keyboard.
That's definitely helpful. Think through that. Here's where people run into a challenge with AI. If I don't understand the content, if I don't understand the answer I'm trying to get from you, it's very hard to ask the question. See,
yep.
Super easy for me when I'm in the lane of what I'm an expert in. So if I'm creating a course around how to use AI automations with Make, I know what I'm looking for. I know what the outcome is supposed to be. So it's very easy to give you the questions. That's where AI is saving me time. It's not about them. It created the content. It's doing it faster because I already know the answers. I just need it done faster.
And
but
so
there,
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I find myself, and I love to write. I'm actually writing a book right now.
Nice.
I know. It just happened last week, and I'm still happy dancing all over the place. But it's, I find that if I sit with myself before just blurting or vomiting all over my keyboard, which is a techie term, by the way.
But, right. Yeah, for sure.
I find out that I get the answers quicker. I get new ideas. Because that is very good about saying something that maybe I didn't quite ask. Oh, there it is. So now I'm off on another tangent eventually going, okay, let's explore this idea. But you do have to sit with it. You do have to get comfortable with it. And you don't be afraid of it. I mean, it's just a box. It's the little fat chubby man behind the curtain. Really, that's all it is.
Yeah. Here's another thing. We are leading a company and always being the one in charge. You train your staff, you work with your customers, you partner with your vendors, always being that master leader and pushing ahead. Kind of think of it, you're the hunter, not the farmer. We're always hunting. We're always trying to lead. So when we go to use AI, we feel that we have to, one, know the answer before we talk to it, but two, we have to guide it more than you actually do. Now, I know that contradicts what I just said, but let me explore this a little bit further. I am celiac. I found out about 6 years ago or so. So I'm very, very careful on what I eat, how, you know, my whole lifestyle is very controlled as far as food goes, right? Lots of protein, clean eating. I don't eat stuff out of a box. I'm very in tune with how that works. There is a program out there called the Whole30. And what it is, it's an elimination diet. For 30 days, you remove almost everything from your diet so you can find out where your triggers are. Program's been around for quite some time, but it's a little complex to sit down and try to work out meal plans and all that kind of stuff. And I honestly just haven't taken the time to do it. So I'm in the kitchen the other night cooking another boring meal because, again, I have to stick to certain foods that I can eat. I grabbed my phone and I was like, I wonder if ChatGPT knows about Whole30. So I'm not even typing it. Hey, do you know about Whole30? And it says, yes. And it goes through and explains to me what the plan is. I'm like, okay, yes, it clearly knows what it is. I said, okay, so I'm going to give you some parameters and I want you to create a meal plan for me for a week. And I said, so I'm celiac. I don't eat grains. I have to eat a lot of protein. And I think I gave it one or two other things. So it comes back and says, so what meat, or it says, do you eat meat? And I said, yes. What meats don't you eat? And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I hadn't thought about that. And I said, I don't eat lamb. I don't really eat pork and I don't eat organ meat, but everything else is kind of fair game. Okay. What vegetables don't you eat? And I was like, oh, okay. Gave it that. Now, mind you, we're 2 minutes into this conversation. Creates a meal plan. And I went through it and it created three meals and snacks. And I said, well, I guess I should have told you I fast 16 hours a day. So I really only need two meals and I don't need all the snacks. So it goes back, revises it in seconds. It comes back and I said, okay, that's actually amazing. But now I want the recipes and I want a shopping list. And I want the shopping list set up the way grocery stores are set up. So I need quantities and all that kind of good stuff. Fast forward 2 minutes later, I have a grocery list. The way the grocery stores are set up, at least in the US, I have the recipes. And all of this conversation took like 7 minutes. So
guess what,
use it to your advantage. I know.
You sound like me. I only eat really one meal a day. I just I hate breakfast. It won't stick with
me. Yeah, I don't do breakfast.
Literally, it will not stay. And, you know, I drink a lot of water. I'm more carnivore than anything. But, I'm in the South. We eat, you know, shellfish. We eat seafood. We eat crawfish.
Right.
You know? And, you know, I do eat pork. I don't like steak. Don't hand me a steak. I'll hand it right back to you.
But, oh, interesting.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Never could. But I'm like you. And I'd have no reason for doing it other than just preference.
Preference, yeah.
No. So I'm going to have a chat with
Chad. Oh, it's wonderful.
And but, see, what else can I eat besides, you know, I mean, I have frozen shrimp all over the place. I've got 60 pounds of frozen shrimp in my freezer right now. I'm getting kind of tired of it.
Or the same way. Spice it up for me.
Yeah,
Give me some sauces or some, you know, healthy, of course, but give me some options where I don't have to think about it. By the end of the day, working the way that we work 12 hours a day, and I do work that because I want to, not because I have to. I love what I'm doing. But I don't want to think about it. I don't want to have to be creative. I'm so decision fatigued by the end of the day. Please don't make me think about food and how to make something. And I get that's why meal plans and all these other companies are born, but I still like to cook. I just don't want to have to think through it all.
I love to cook. For me, it's, you know, part of my creativity.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's also part of my love language. I'm never around people if I can avoid it. You know, I can just, if I said that right, I'm a true introvert and I need to be left alone 8% of the time. But when I am around people, it's around cooking always.
Yeah.
Always. And I love to cook, but it's not always the healthiest thing for me. So I'm I love gumbo, but all that rice, I mean, it's an instant anaphylactic thing. I can't sneeze, breathing, you know, it's just crazy, but I'm going to build my menu. And thank you for that.
You're welcome. But so take that idea across anything. I need a different walking routine. I need some ideas on how to do my hair differently or some different shoes because my feet are bothering me. Or, you know what, design me some black and white pictures so I can print them for my kids to color and help me create prompts to bring my kids in so they can start learning about it. I mean, the limitations are us as humans. The limitations are not where the AI is currently. Now, of course, there are limitations and, you know, that's business. I'm talking about just thinking outside of the box as to what you could use it for. Write me a song. Write me a poem. Summarize Shakespeare for me. Tell me the summary of this movie or this author or where this movie star got his start. Or, I mean, there are no questions that are off limits.
And you can have so much fun with it.
You can.
I am my best entertainment. I think I'm funny. But other people think I'm nuts, but I think I'm funny. So I have this one, well, I have two large ginger cats, and one of them, excuse me, and he's famous on Facebook. He is hashtag Hamilton is an ass. He's 20 pounds. He gets Christmas cards, and he was being particularly obnoxious not so long ago. So I moved him to the other side of the desk, and I said, I am going to have ChatGPT write a story about you, and it's going to be ugly. And it was hilarious. And I made him sit while I read it to him.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
But you know what? It was entertainment for me. It got me out of whatever, you know, slump I was in. He just looked at me like I was insane, which crazy. I was at the moment. And I kept it because it really was funny.
It can be so funny.
Right. I would have never come up with this stuff on my own.
No. And, you know, okay, so let's address that a little bit. So some of the stuff that I've read online, especially when it comes to art or design, things like that, there's been a lot of people voicing, look, it's taken me 20 years to master my craft. It's not fair that somebody that's not put in any work goes and creates an image in 30 seconds and it's beautiful and they get paid thousands of dollars for it. There's that side.
I know, I see it.
Yeah. And not that they're not right. They're right. But here's the thing. It's all perspective. It's all framing how we look at it. And this is how I had to do it. When this first came out, again, I've been mastering, you know, perfecting and working and feels like millions of hours since I started my entrepreneur journey. I'm older, but my first business, I was 32. So over 20 years. If I looked at it like, yeah, it's not fair. I've had to learn all this stuff. I've had to take all these courses, read all these books, attend all these masterminds to master my craft, to be able to be paid top dollar like I am today. And now there's a kid with a phone sitting in a third world country in a hut with nothing but internet, and he can offer the same marketing strategy I can. So what? It's a beautiful time to be alive. So what that does for me is that challenges me and says, okay, so because now what marketing has become democratized, it also has become commoditized. Anybody can do it now. You don't have to have any experience. Now,
and weaponized.
Mind you, what's sure. that?
And weaponized.
Right.
All the so, eyes. You know, there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. But if we look at it like that's not fair, you know, welcome to civilization. It evolves. What are you going to do to evolve you? What's the next step, right? So you go from a beginner to an intermediate to an expert. Well, now we're going to be challenged to get work past that. A lot of us don't know what that next stage looks like. But if you lean into the opportunity of, I don't know necessarily where this is going to settle out, but I know that I'm in for the ride because it's going to do nothing but help me professionally. It's going to help my business. It's going to help my staff. And we're going to be cautious and we're not going in blind. We're going to go in open-eyed that, you know, we need to stay cognizant of what's going on around us. And we're going to use this to our advantage to get all those things done that we haven't been able to get done to grow our business.
Exactly. And you said something I thought was important. You're talking about this kid and people, oh, like, I'm so upset. This kid in Mogadishu, I don't even know where that is. But, you know, he's doing this with nothing but a phone and bare feet. Learn from him. take
absolutely
see what he did that you're like, oh, I never thought of that. Thank you. And go.
Yeah.
You know, don't get mad. Just pay attention.
And how else can, I mean, there's going to come a time where, because everything has been democratized, essentially any business that's doing something online is in the process of being democratized. And it goes across the board, healthcare, medicine, marketing. I mean, there's no industry, tech, development, everything is being affected by AI one way or another. You can dig your feet in and say, oh, I'm not going to be a part of it. It's wrong. It's not natural. Guys, Jack's out of the box. It's not going back. So yes, you can dig in and say, I'm going to stay a purist. Or, I mean, again, there's always two sides to it. But at the same time, why not say, you know what, I'm going to figure out how to use this to my advantage. Is it going to help my family? Is it going to help my business? Is it going to help me as a human to grow into version 2.0? And that's where really the benefit is.
Exactly. And, you know, when you talk about productivity, I find it amazingly helpful for me with my productivity. And I've always been happy with my productivity until I realized that I could do better.
More.
Better.
Yeah.
And I can still stand up and go outside because now I'm not chained to the desk. You know, you can go, oh, that's pretty interesting. Go take a break, come back and start all over again. But now you've got something you can work with, finish it and move on to the next thing.
I actually feel as if I have been given the most amazing assistant that knows more than I do, but that is open to guidance that I get to direct. I have created thousands and thousands of words. I have started from scratch. I've built 30 courses in 45 days. I could not have done that before. I've written another book. I've created lead generation tools. I've tons of social media. I've set up automations. I've launched numerous websites for clients. Now, much of this is not outside of my lane. It's the normal stuff I was doing. I've just 10x'd it. I've just 100x'd some of this. Something that maybe took me 8 hours, I can knock out in 30 minutes now. Guess what I'm doing with that 7.5 hours? One, I'm going to learn a bunch of stuff, but two, I'm going to take on 10 more projects because I can now, because I have the bandwidth. Now, I didn't start there. You guys, as you hear this, where I'm months into this, right? So I've done the struggling, I've done the flopping, like, oh, heck, that didn't work. Let me try again. Oh, that didn't really work. I just spent 4 hours and got nothing because I hadn't cracked it yet. I'm just at the place now, you know, I've evolved past kindergarten. I'm in like fourth grade now when it comes to AI. So I've worked through a lot of the challenges that come with learning how to use it. But you guys, we did this with any tool in our business. We have a website. We struggled and struggled and struggled, and then we figured it out. And now we just change out content, add pages, create new stuff. But we all go through that awkward, I don't know what I'm doing. This is hard. Somebody help me figure it out. Never mind, I don't want to figure it out. Chaos in our minds. But I guarantee you, if you stick it out and do the work, once you're actually through it and you know how to wield this amazing tool, you will never go back. You just won't.
No. And why would you? I mean, it's not doing evil. It's not
right.
You know, digging around and squirreling around in your brain going, what's in there? You're telling it what you need. You're in charge.
Right.
And I think that's why a lot of people just go, oh, it's so scary, which leads me to my next kind of question. Are there any common challenges or obstacles that businesses typically face when adopting AI? Because somebody has to be in charge. Is it the front-facing person? I mean, you know, do you have your receptionist go, oh, you know, hey, you know, write me something, and she doesn't have a clue. We see this all the time in social media marketing. they'll say, oh, we're going to do it in-house. Oh, good luck with that. Who trained that person? I just want
right.
to know. Okay, keep talk. You go.
No, I was just going to say, it depends on the size of the business, right? If you're a big business, you'll typically have a CTO or CMO. The CMO is working on the strategy, right? And he or she is rolling it down to the team that's going to be implementing it. So I've been in bigger companies. I've been VP of marketing. I've done CMO work. And typically what I would do is I am the strategist person, right? I'm the guy, the person, the girl leading the band. So I am the conductor. And then I've got a copywriter and I've got a ads person and I've got a social media person. And in bigger companies, you will have, you know, multiple people. I think at one point I had probably 10 different people doing different components of marketing. Now at that level, each person really needs to be able to dig in. So your copywriter needs to say, okay, here's the copywriting I produce every week. Here's the sales letter. Here's the offers. Here's the emails that I write. Here's that. How do I use AI to do my job better? How do I get better results? Well, I mean, to get into the weeds just a little bit, let's take email marketing. You've been doing it for a little while. You send out emails. You've got a list. Your results are okay. So what I would suggest is your question is, how do I get better open rates? How do I get better click-through rates? How do I grow my list? Right? Those would be typical outcomes when it comes to an email list. How do I generate more leads with it? So what I would do is I would say, go to whatever your email marketing client tool is, ActiveCampaign, MailChimp, you know, fill in the blank, download your data. I would take it to ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude, your, you know, flavor of choice, and say, you are an marketing analytics data person, I want you to review my data and tell me how to improve whatever my goals are, better click-through rates, open rates, you know, the things I just shared. And then once we analyze the data, I want you to help me come up with new ideas. So I want you to look at my best converting headlines, my best converting call to action. And I want you to come up with new ideas from my best converting content. And then we're going to create new emails and you can just take that process all the way through. That's really where you start with things like this. What's on your plate? How do you get better results? How do you save time? How do you make more money? Period. That's it.
And you're right. I agree with you. And let's take the scenario you just gave us, because in my mind, I'm seeing a lot of different prompts there.
There is, but your person is already doing this. They're just doing it subconsciously. So I'm your email person. I know my brand. I know my tone. I know my target audience. I write my email. I decide what the offer is, what the click-through rate is. I test my headline. I'm already doing all this. I'm just taking it out of my head. Something that I do every single day subconsciously and turning it into a conversation with AI. So we're already doing these processes.
Gotcha. Well, one of the things that, and again, this just flashed into my head, because what you described is a lot. You want them to do this, 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 and this. And when I try that with the AI, it confuses the heck out of them. So clearly I'm piecemealing it out.
Incorrectly. Well, incorrectly. Think about, yeah. Okay. So go back to earlier in this conversation, you said you like to sit down and write out ideas before you go to the keyboard.
And then speak them out loud. Yeah.
Correct. So if you feel like the information that you're asking of the chat bot is not giving you back the results you want, step back. I'll give you a perfect example. I created a bunch of GPTs, and so say part of my agency business is I do consulting and I do an audit. So typically when I start working with a client, I have a process that I go through. And again, it's subconscious. If you asked me to write it down, I would say, I've never written it down. I just do it. It's so organic for me. But organic doesn't work when I'm trying to teach somebody how to do it. So I had to sit down and I had to write down, okay, what is step one? Step one is they're going to bring me in to redesign their website. Okay, what would I typically do then? Well, I would go and look at their old website. And then what would you do? Well, I'd make notes and I'd write down what works, what doesn't work, how long the site takes, what does their navigation look like, what is the customer experience? And I was like, wow, I actually do a lot of, a lot of stuff, but how do you articulate that when you're doing it subconsciously on autopilot? So I had to sit down and write as if I was having this fake conversation with the client. And once I wrote it all down, then I knew very easily how to direct the AI. So what I said was, you are a consultant in marketing. You provide this kind of expertise. We're going to create a workflow for an audit. And I went back and forth till I got to a place that it was essentially just saying exactly how I do my process, just better. It does say it better. I was like, wow, I hadn't thought about positioning it that way. That's actually really sexy. So then I walk away with complete instructions that I'm able to take out of my head, my exact process, and put it into a GPT where somebody could go there and interact with it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have just replaced myself. That is crazy because I get paid pretty good for these. And just like that, just amazing that you can do that.
It really is. And I just wrote down the word amazing right about the same time you said that. It's fascinating what you can do with this without terrifying yourself. But you know what I find? Often I will tell chat, tone it down a bit. You're a little too enthusiastic.
You're right.
It's like, okay. And I hate those stinking emojis. You know, I will start with everything, no emojis. Okay. Right. Emojis. And then they put them in anyway, because I think they don't like me. They love them.
Sometimes it's a little defiant. I won't. Yeah. Here's something to think about. You're the parent. You're teaching your child. It's up to us to guide it, to do what we want. Now, a few disclaimers. I mean, we've spent the last hour talking about all of the opportunity that's available for AI. But here's the other side of this. Be cautious with what you input, just like you do on Facebook. Don't put your business out there that you wouldn't want repeated. Don't put pictures up there. Don't share personal information. This is still going into somebody's database.
Yes,
and we don't know where it's going. But if you're concerned with privacy or any of that stuff, guys, you gave that up a long time ago when you went on to Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or surf the internet out of incognito. Your data is out there. What I'm saying is be responsible. If you're working for a company or you're in a business, share numbers, but share numbers that you would be okay with if they went public. So my open rate, I don't care. I'm happy to share that. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not. Client business or client financials. No, I'm not going to input those there and ask for feedback. That's somebody else's data. So just, you know, use caution when you're sharing information as to what kind of feedback that you're looking for. If you wouldn't share it publicly, probably shouldn't go in it.
I always say, if you don't want your grandma seeing it on a billboard, don't put it out.
Yeah. Especially with business, right? I mean, there's that personal side, and I don't share a lot of personal stuff. So for me, it's really the business side of it. If you wouldn't want your business out there, if you wouldn't want to walk into a networking room with your most favorite idols and peers with your stuff up on the wall, don't put it in. because somebody's reading it somewhere. It's living in somebody's database. I mean, 2024 is really about who's going to come out of this year ahead is who owns the most data.
Oh,
because
no,
yeah, because no, how they're training these bots to, or LLMs, is really based on the data going in. So data is the new gold or the new Bitcoin for 2024.
They are. And people say, well, you know, I want to keep my data private. Well,
well, sister, really that went away.
Yeah. Really,
you're online. It went away.
Yeah. But you can be careful about what you feed it.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, you talked about courses and boy, we are running out of time. Will you come back another time? You have a book coming up, you said?
I do. It's called Marketing Reset.
When that book is ready, you call me and we'll get you back on the show.
That will be fun. Okay. That will be really fun.
But what I wanted to ask you is, well, I've got all kinds of questions. When you come back, talk about the other side of AI. You know, we've touched on it a little bit, but what are some of the things that, you know, you really need to be careful with? And we can go a little bit deeper into that. But I wanted to ask you about your courses. What are you sharing?
Well, so I started, I have another brand. So ATEC is my consulting company, and that's been around forever. I started a marketplace for small businesses called Zendo and Company, and it's really end-to-end. So part of my marketplace is I have a training site called Zendo Labs. And inside of that was initially just marketing stuff, how to launch a course, how to write a book, how to set up a campaign, really, really just in the weeds. I'm the how that everybody tells you to go find. You know, they're like, don't worry about it. Go find somebody else to do the how. I'm that. Here's step one. Let's go to step two. I'm that person. I always have been. I'm a builder. I'm in the weeds, but that's how my brain works. That's what works for me. So the training site was all about marketing and sales and really to help smaller businesses that can't hire somebody like me to do it for them. And it was kind of my way of saying, look, let me take some of this expertise that I do for the guys that make $20 million a year and simplify it and strip out all the extra stuff and just give you the basics. This is what you need to know. You're at this stage in your business. This is what you should be doing. Well, with AI coming, as I'm learning it, I'm adding it to my membership site. So I have personas and I have prompts. And so I said, okay, how do I use AI to create a course? And what I find is most business owners don't want to be marketers. Nobody wants to be marketers, but marketers. But what I did find was I was having to go back and do so much of the basics training, meaning training. Say I want to teach you some advanced tactics in Facebook ads. What would happen is when I got you into the Facebook ads, I found out that there were so many pieces that you didn't understand as the business owner. I'm like, well, where's this? And how do you do this? And where's your stuff for this? They're like, we don't know. We haven't done any of that. So I decided, look, I'm going to use AI and I'm going to go create all the foundation stuff. So now I don't have to spend any time teaching you that. It's your job to go watch that stuff. And then we can just focus on the advanced stuff. So I was like, okay, so what do I need? Well, there was 30 different topics, right? I need SEO, paid ads, and in paid ads, you have Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google. So each one of them has multiple things underneath them. Well, because I know the content, it was very easy for me to use ChatGPT. Let's create a structure for the course. Here's my target audience. This is what I want to cover. It would outline the course. I would give it feedback. Then we'd write the content. I would tweak the content. We would go through this iteration process. Then I take the final text, upload it to Descript, have Descript create a slideshow presentation, and added over to AI voice to it. 45 days later, I have 30 courses.
I am almost speechless, and that's
come on, sister. We have so many things we could do. Again, the limitations are us.
I know.
The limitations are us.
I know. And I have found out multiple times during my career that the bottleneck is me. It's always
me. Yeah. And most business owners, it is. It really is. I'm like, you know, you're working way too hard, right?
That's exactly right. And we do, you know, I think it's part of the entrepreneur squirrel brain. We don't really know when to stop. Yeah. And then we find something like you're talking about with ChatGPT, which I'm fascinated with. And we're going, oh, I can do more. And part of you is going, sit down. Just stop talking.
I don't have that gene, unfortunately. Like when I'm done working on client projects all day, I'm done. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go to YouTube and I'm going to watch the next 3 hours of new stuff that's come out and what cool things are doing. And I mean, I've set up some automations. And again, all of this is, I'm trying to almost like experiencing it in real time because we're all at the same place. AI is new for everybody. I mean, you know, the mass population, of course, there's developers and scientists and all that kind of good stuff. I'm not talking about them, but talking about for general public like us, it's new. So we all started in kindergarten here. So there's not a lot of people that have a lot of advantages over it. Just dig in and start learning it. Be curious.
Very curious.
That's it.
I love the word, be curious. And listen, everybody, use some critical thinking skills.
Yes.
Don't just take whatever chat offers you and plunk it into a blog and pretend like you did that. You didn't, and people are going to know.
And Google's penalizing it right now. Yes. They're not penalizing AI. They're penalizing the garbage of write me a blog article about the 10 ways to make ice cream. Copy, paste, and be done with it. That's the kind of content that's being penalized.
And it's lazy. Right.
And it is lazy. And it's not a good representation of your brand. It's just not.
We are out of time. I am so sorry because I love this conversation and I really do want you to come back. But before I let you go, where can people find you? And do you have any kind of last thoughts that you want to share with the audience?
Where you can find me on any of the social platforms, just at Audra Carpenter. I'm out there. I'm, you know, doing my best to stay ahead of things. And last thoughts, I would say just be open to the possibility. AI can do amazing things for us globally. It's bigger than just you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than our little businesses. It's bigger than money. It really is going to change our planet in such a positive way. So just be curious. Stay open to possibilities.
Excellent. Audra, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you being with me here today. And I'm looking forward to the next time you're here. So to our audience, as we conclude, today's episode, your feedback means a lot to me. And if you found the show helpful, and I know you did, please support us with a quick review on iTunes. Your input is vital in my mission to inspire and empower more individuals. And don't forget to hit subscribe, leave a review, and share your Partner in Success Radio with friends and colleagues. And be sure to go find Audra Carpenter on the web and connect with her. She is amazing. And thank you, everybody. Audra, again, thanks so much. And I'll talk with you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome.
My pleasure.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.